Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Drive Through HR, Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR. Well, let's get to our guest. Elaine, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear your voice. I know you're busy. Everybody that we have on the show is just, we squeeze it into lunch, and hopefully it's a little bit of break for everybody and everybody listening to get some good information. So if you would, introduce yourself, and then also probably a little bit about, obviously, Talent Ward and the candies would be great, too.
Sure. My name is Elaine Orler. I'm a recovering recruiter. I focus on talent acquisition, recruiting systems, process, and technology. I am founder of a consulting firm called Talent Function, and I am chairman of the nonprofit called Talent Board, which is the host organization to the Candidate Experience Awards. We're in our fourth year, and I think we're going to be talking about the 2013 trend data. So looking forward to sharing some of the insights.
Well, that is... Fantastic, and got to be a part and continue to be an advocate of the Candidate Experience Awards, both here and the UK. So fantastic work. You guys just are, you know, we're a treat to work with. So lots of brilliant people. Well, let's kick it off. What's coming out of the 2013 data? I'm excited. I'm a fan of the show right now.
Oh, well, outside of the fact that, you know, we have produced another graciously called fire hose of content, and I can honestly say with the data that we have from last year that it still barely scratches the surface of the data that's available. We had in the 2013 award process 64 companies that were recognized as winners last year, and with all of the companies that participated in round two, we had 46,800 plus candidates respond to the candidate survey. To give you any kind of correlation, the year before we had, about 24,000 candidates total, 27,000. So doubling in size, it's a little bit ominous for us. But the amazing amount of information and the fact that it just validates candidates want a voice in the process. They want to be heard about what they like, what they don't like, and the respect that they are starting to demand is incredible. We'll dive into some of the numbers as you see fit.
Well, I definitely, I'm curious on, maybe just kind of look at different, on the company side, what's some of the aha moments you guys really ran into as the companies, you know, again, kind of went through the process again, and I was actually involved on the survey question side of things, and that was, and spent a lot of time with Jerry Crispin, which is always fabulous and never a lack of entertainment on top of being, you know, working through the process. What were some of the company aha moments that you guys got back on the data?
Well, a variety of things are still coming through. I think two of the ahas that I've taken away, and Jerry and I discuss these pretty much weekly, one of them specifically, again, that the number and the types of companies that participated this year is still a very round pie of and different slices. Some organizations tend to feel that only the large companies are eligible, but we had a great mix of smaller boutique companies, medium size and large, and with recruiting processes and trends that are across the board, from HR generalists delivering the work to strategic sourcing, strategic staffing kind of organizations to RPO type of models. So we felt great about the fact that we could see through each of the different models that the organizations are working aggressively to try to solve for candidate experience. One of the key data points was the fact that we're seeing an increased trend in the requirements on recruiters to provide valuable feedback to the candidates. Valuable is still subjective. I'm going to put that out there. But the concept being that more and more of the organizations, and especially the organizations that were winning organizations, strive to make sure that their recruiter is having a quality type conversation with a candidate, especially if they're not going to be considered or if they're being rejected in the process. So we saw the black hole shrink just a little bit for those companies that were winners versus the overall population, which I think is the exact right direction and exactly why we set out to put the awards out there, was to drive more awareness and to create a better experience overall.
That is such a wonderful insight, Elaine. Elaine, this is Nisha, and glad to talk to you today at Try2HR.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. So, you talked about a little bit about small businesses and large companies are already using this candidate experience, and then your company is evaluating them. So it's kind of a fascinating to see. Do you see any kind of a difference when you evaluate them? Let me say that for smaller companies, their volume of recruitment is very, very less comparing to a larger companies, because they always have this high volume recruitment. So when it comes to giving that valuable feedback or providing a candidate experience, do you see smaller companies are good in terms of providing, but that yet larger companies are not that good, or some kind of a differences, some interesting insights that you can share with our audience?
Sure, I'll talk to it. There is no one-size-fits-all to the definition of candidate experience. And so, obviously, with the different companies, what we see are in the different size companies, we saw different challenges in the process. So those companies that were smaller in size, that maybe only had a couple, under five people in talent acquisition, or they had generalists that were driving the recruiting process, or line management that did most of the work, the span of control, the level of consistency, then it was dependent on the individual. With the larger organizations, where they had a much greater overview, in several cases a lot more technology solutions in play, the span of control and the insight was greater because the touch points were more apparent. So it is kind of comparing apples to oranges, but I would say that the candidates and their responses overall, what the candidates looked for was timely feedback, respect in the process, and let them just basically timely feedback. I think I'd just go back to timely feedback. But whether a large organization or small, that seemed to be the greatest demand overall. So small organizations, we saw maybe the recruiter could pick up the phone and talk to 5 or 10 more candidates. Large organizations, we saw more customized emails or other resources involved in the process. It wasn't just the recruiter. There's the coordinator. There's a sourcing specialist. There's an HR generalist. There was a variety of people engaged in that conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, a little bit about the behind-the-screen stories. When we talk about great place to work or evaluating a great place to work, we have, five parameters like great challenges or great atmosphere, or it is a fun culture or great bosses or whatever. But when it comes to your company evaluating the candidate experience that is being provided by organizations, what are some parameters that you are generally looking for?
Sure. Well, one of the key things in our overall survey is that the candidates actually tell us what a valuable candidate experience is. We went into the overall process with some assumptions, and as most of us coming out of the recruiting cycle and understanding what it's been to be recruiters and the volume we deal with and the conversations we have to have, we really wanted the survey and the overall award process to be dependent on the candidate's response. So we asked the candidates a series of questions that are really focused around what was in the experience, what did they go through in their experience and in the process, and what was valuable to them. And so that's what really determines which companies are actually placed in the winner list. The winner list is also an inclusion-based model. We don't have a limited threshold of we'll only pick 25 or 100 companies, because it is about companies that are striving to do something better. So we look for where the candidate said they had a neutral to positive experience and across several markers. And that starts with what was their experience in researching the company, how were they able to get the information they needed, what was their application process, their interview process, their offer and onboarding process, and then if they were turned down or told that they weren't being selected, what was that like as well? So each of those are variable markers, and then each company that participated was required to have candidates respond within almost all of those categories. So you couldn't just have your hires respond to the survey. They had to show a very good demographic of those that weren't selected as well as those that were, so that we could balance those overall experiences.
Wonderful. Well, from this perspective, you know, through my research, I can see a lot of companies are doing different techniques. Some people will be using video interview as a platform to provide their candidate experience, or getting in touch with the hiring managers even before when they hire a candidate. Or some people will use, okay, live Twitter chat or live Facebook chat with recruiters. So this is always different techniques that they use. But so do you think, like, you know, that technology innovations like gamification or video interviewing can have a call on this candidate experience?
Absolutely. And the data that we have in the trends is trending that way. In fact, specifically of the companies that were winning companies, we asked them what solutions are they using in their recruiting effort to improve the candidate experience, what solutions are they exploring, and the three areas where there was the greatest amount of exploration continues to be mobile, social, and video. And those actually are interactive and, in essence, experience-based type solutions. It's not transaction anymore. It's not, let me record the checkbox that says that we interviewed you. It's now the quality of the interview and the quality of the interaction, and I think that's where video is going to continue to play a stronger marker. Plus, the demographics of our survey, we have the perfect bell curve with the five generations in the workforce today, and with those five generations, we're seeing obviously the newer generations, the millennials, et cetera, adapting to video and assuming mobile is the baseline. So those are the types of things these organizations are really going after in their process as well.
That's great to know. Well, what about rejections? What do you see when a candidate is being rejected from a recruiter and they don't get any kind of an information from the recruiters whatsoever? How would that impact an organization's, candidate experience, or let me say that job search process, even if it is getting selected or not selected, but then that experience, how would that impact their candidate pool?
Sure. Because of the way we ask some of the questions to the candidates, we ask some specific questions around thinking of it from their purchase power or their influence power related to their overall experience. And in that case, if the company is a consumer product where they have the buying power to purchase somewhere else, how likely was that candidate experience to increase their purchase power or decrease it overall? But on the same vein, for the companies that don't necessarily have a consumer product, but they have a name or a certain job type or critical talent need, that person's influence within their inner circle and the relationships that they have in that industry can have radical effects on the recruiting process going forward. So we asked specifically, and I should also caveat, the data that we have from the benchmark and the data from the awards is based on companies that applied to an award process. So by nature, this is not ground zero for where the industry is. These are organizations that I would put 2 to 3 flights above what most organizations are doing, because these organizations clearly are striving for something better. But even their candidates, if they felt they had a negative experience, were willing to express that experience publicly or to their inner circle, or take their purchase power somewhere else. We found that candidates that didn't feel they had a relationship with the company and felt the experience was negative were twice as likely to not have a relationship with that company or not even spend their money there in some cases. So that's the negative aspect. I also want to caveat, because we're focused completely on the positive. A larger percentage of the candidates were willing to vocalize a positive experience than we've seen in the last 2 years before. And that just tells me that as we continue to become more of a socially, digitally social community, promoting the positive is equally and can be more influential on a company and their recruiting experience than just trying to mitigate the negative.
That's wonderful to know. Well, in fact, we talked about recruiters one-on-one interaction. We talked about social and mobile and then rejection. How about automation? What's the role of, you know, having, you know, automated the responses that has to be provided to candidates when it comes to communicating, okay, we got your resume. There's not a black hole that we didn't get in your resume. And this is the process. So what do you think the automation can provide when it comes to letting the candidate know, okay, where is my situation in the process and what can I expect next?
Great question. You hit on the candidate experience and my personal professional passion, which is seeing technology right in the recruiting industry, because there's so much opportunity for the way that technology can improve what we do, and we're still barely scratching the surface on some of those things.
I
the
know.
Initial,
you always.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry
it's
to
okay.
interrupt. Yeah, I know you always talk about harmony between people and technology, so I wanted to have this thought from you.
Well, we need more harmony, that's for sure. The automatic receipts, the confirmation that your information has been provided, is as baseline as most organizations get. And candidates today, that's equal to the thanks for your order on Amazon. That's not the shipment has been fulfilled. That's not the tell me how you feel about your overall process. That's just the confirmation we got your credit card. That's the same way we're seeing the candidate response with the resume data today. What we're starting to see is a deeper value proposition in the content that you're able to communicate to candidates. And there are so many solution providers that are doing this out of the box. The ability to tailor messages based on the job in which they applied, understanding a candidate's preferences and being able to provide richer content, whether it be video content or additional calls to action, which are some of the value pieces that keep the candidate engaged but don't necessarily take more time and attention from the recruiter, who still today, and unfortunately today even more so than last year, has an average of between 125 and 200 people applying to every job. So that number alone means that you can't get every single one of those people, you know, 20 minutes of time and attention. So how do you scale that to be successful? And that's where technology has really got to support what we're doing. The mobile capabilities today for applicants to complete assessments via their phone, to answer quizzes, to check in on the video, to even provide video content and responses are allowing for, a better engagement value, but providing for the fact that the recruiters don't have more time in their day.
Elaine, what are some of the differences? Because I just always love the Amazon analogy, by the way. It's one of those that it's funny to take a consumer facing what's been around and what's expected as a beyond a minimum and applying it, layering it over the candidate experience is just seems to be so obvious to so many of us, but that's good. You're seeing progress. My question is, what are some of the parallels you're seeing, maybe stark contrast between the U.S. and the U.K. data?
That's a great question, and I would love to say we were really excited to see some major differences between the two. What we found was some major similarities, which I think caught almost all of us off guard. One of the key areas they also saw a large increase in the number of applicants to position, which has definitely increased on the UK side, still less than what we're seeing in the North America side. But the driving factor that came through in both surveys overall and potentially our survey plans for Australia and even the rest of the world is that the candidates are still looking for the right information at the right time. their candidates want, as much as the North America candidates want, quality communication when you have it. This, I'm not going to tell you anything until we've made the decision, hired somebody, and I'll let you go at the end of the process, doesn't work anymore. You know, letting candidates know today that, you know what, you're one of, on average, 200 people that have applied for this position, and our process takes, on average, 4 to 6 weeks to get through the next steps. That's basic information that we can provide anywhere that gets, sets a candidate's expectations in such a way that it's not going to be, how come you didn't call me 5 minutes after I sent you my resume? And it's setting those expectations that we found in both sides were really critical. And we're, our UK report, are you, sorry, we have a UK report that will also come out in the next couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, and we'll also plan to draw some more correlations between what the UK data results were versus the North America results. And since we have results now for 2 years for both, we are starting to look at some trend lines.
Do you guys touch, and I can't literally remember the questions, but do you guys touch on onboarding as part of the candidate, overall candidate experience?
We do, and in fact, as you say that, because I am on the survey committee for the 2014, and we just spent some time trying to decide how much more important is onboarding in this next year's survey versus last year. And some of the key questions really around the experience in general, the steps of a candidate that you took, what was the level of communication you received, and we're wrestling with, you know, how much deeper should it go, because we think that there is value in knowing, you know, a couple of weeks into the job, how is it what you expected from the recruiting process? Were you told the truth through the cycle? Did you get what you thought you were going to get? So we're wrestling with how we might incorporate some of those questions this year, but we don't have those from last year. We only know the steps they took, and we're looking for the validation on those steps.
Well, that's fantastic. And what's interesting is I've got a really good friend that I'm helping kind of just helping go through kind of a job change, a new step in the career process. And so I've been able to get it firsthand, like recently, like the last few days. She's put in 10 or 11 applications, submissions to different places. And it is amazing, the stark contrast from the ones that I really – that has been impressive, because – I think she's figuring I'm kind of geeking out, because I'm looking like, who is the applicant tracking system they're using, like what the process is. That's my part of it I'm looking at, and I think she could care less. But the what's interesting is you have a couple systems that are state-of-the-art. I was really impressed because they actually, like, do notifications on when the job closes. Like, are you under consideration? Like, every step of the process was communicated amazing, right? And they happen to be like a top 50 company to work for in the region. And so some correlations there versus the other side of it is absolute, like, black hole, totally nondescript, no steps in the process. Like, you just don't ever know if they ever got it. And it's pretty interesting to get it firsthand through somebody's eyes and trying to help them, you know, support them through a stressful process.
Well, from a firsthand perspective, I had the opportunity, as my husband was unemployed for just short of 2 years, and it was the yin-yang journey in our household alone, which was the I was guaranteed a story every day on the application process, but then with all the companies that he applied to, that there's probably books and books and books of what not to do, as I try to share and champion the what to do. I think I'm still in therapy.
Well, talking about this technology in a word, we always say, well, it's not a technology. It's what you do with it, right? So when it comes to, you know, ATS or any sort of automated tools that we are using, or even if it is social, mobile, or gamification, whatever, how do we harness this technology in order to, you know, use it in the right way?
Well, we're at a great cross point in the industry again, where most organizations that we talk to, and anytime I can ask the question publicly, how many different technology systems do you need to log into or use in your recruiting, in your day-to-day recruiting, from a recruiter to a sourcer? And the minimum number I've heard so far is 5. The average number is somewhere between 12 and 15. And that just tells me, again, we've got all these great tools, but how we're marrying them together, defining the process in which each of those tools need to touch and who. And I go back to the organizationally, we have to take a step back in recruiting and figure out which system is the source of truth for what information. And when we start to think in those lines, we'll start to see the progression. There's some great talent community solutions, some CRM tools that create a very rich experience because they're on the latest and greatest dynamic experience-based technology. You couple that with an applicant tracking system that hasn't been upgraded in 4 or 5 years, and you've just reverted the candidate back to, you know, an old school, why is this form field requiring a data element that I don't understand? So it, you really have to take a step back and think about what each of the steps are that we're requiring of our candidates, what's the experience expected in that step, and how best to communicate that. But at the same time, if there's a bare minimum any company can do, first it's inventory of the solutions that you do have and take yourself through that process. Be your own secret applicant in your own organization, because you will find out so much on that moment in time on just the break points or the value points that you can continue to promote in your organization. And the second thing is change your automatic messaging. As I still to this day get some of those thanks for applying messages that I know are the standard scripted message that was delivered with the product 6 years ago, and the subject line hasn't been changed. And those things are caught by spam now. Candidates don't see them. You want to know why candidates don't get a receipt? Because most of those messages have gone into their spam because they've got them too many times from the same product. But force yourself to just rethink the message that you can write, reword it, make it a little bit better, and that's going to take you leaps and bounds farther than some of your competition, at least to get started.
Well, so last question, and it's a very limited two-part question. We got about 3 minutes left. Great information, by the way. Thank you. That just gives everybody a reference point, how to make something that doesn't take a lot of work better, but make it better for everybody. So question is, I've got two words for you. I just want to get kind of your definition, reaction, however you want to put it. Trust and innovation. What are those? How do you define those two words for you?
Wow, that's philosophical in a great way. I'm going to take it straight from the candidate experience. Trust is earned, yet in the candidate experience, it's implied and granted. And I think one of the things we have to balance as practitioners in this space is that candidates have taken a leap of faith to apply to our jobs. We need to get out of the mindset that they're perpetual appliers and they're a burden, and that we need to look at this as, you know, this is their career, their progression, their future. And it's our social responsibility to take that trust and treat it with respect. So I think there's a value line that we need to continue to see. And, again, the best recruiters in the organizations that won, this is their baseline. This is how they perceive and understand recruiting to be. And innovation, I think innovation is intoxicating to me personally, but it can be crippling to your overall process if you're constantly innovating without integrating to what you already have and making sure that the full story is easy to be told.
Nice. Great answer. Well, Elaine, we are absolutely out of time. It was great to have you on the show. Good information. Oh, my gosh. It's just world-class stuff. So where can folks find out more information about Candidate Experience Awards and about you?
Oh, well, first, the easiest is the Candies, and it's with an E, thecandes.org. Or Google search the Candidate Experience Awards. We are coming up at the top of the page these days. We have the reports available for download with a quick registration, and they're free to anybody that wants to download them. We're going to be at a lot of conferences coming up. We have a booth at ERE coming up in a couple of weeks, so come by and say hello. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Elaine Orler. You can find me at talentfunction.com, which is my consulting practice, or pretty much Skype, LinkedIn, and Facebook, all at Elaine Orler.
That is perfect. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday. Go kick some ass.